This is Two Jerks, One Vote, and in this episode, we're reviewing all the songs and shadows for Spin Tunes 23 Round 2. I didn't catch that. Prominent or creative use of scat, wordless, or nonsense vocals.
We said we weren't gonna do this again, but we didn't hold out very long. We said we weren't gonna do this, but then somehow we're right back here judging all of your songs. We could spend this time doing something constructive, something really worth our while, but that's not our style.
Welcome to Spin Tunes Round 2. We are Jerkatorium, and we are doing the judging and reviews for Spin Tunes 23 Round 2. I am Ryan, the jerk of Jerkatorium.
And I am Chumpy, also a jerk from Jerkatorium.
And I am Brian, and I am pretending to be also a jerk of Jerkatorium. This is Three Jerks, Two Votes.
Three jerks, two votes. We're not going to change our graphics for any of that unless you know somebody who does graphics. But yes, you know, of course, Chumpy and I are, you know, we've been at it for a while, so people kind of know our thing. Brian, of course, is an occasional writer for Jerkatorium. He occasionally writes lyrics and sort of helps with our general ideas for songs and things like that. I don't know. What else are you, Brian?
Oh, that's pretty much it. There's something else to say. All I would say is that I am very much an outsider. I am not a musically accomplished person. I love music, but I do not have any technical skill at all. So I am very much coming from a different place than the judges are. And most of the contestants. And so I hope that they feel free to ignore my opinions because I am very much not in the audience of the Spin Tunes contests. But
you do have an abiding love of music and of also not, you know, not necessarily top 40 music.
Actually, I really love music that is wordless. I actually really enjoy wordless vocals. I mean, I like lyrics too, but I have a huge chunk of my library and I listen to it a lot more when I'm writing because music with words tends to throw me off. And though most of it is just wordless vocals, just ahs and such, I do have like quite a bit of music that is actually music that has nonsense words or words that are spoken in a made-up language that's like very close to near and dear to my heart. Anna Homler is a composer that I like a lot, that she sings in a language that she made up, for example.
Okay. You jumped the gun just a little bit, I guess.
Oh.
I don't think we announced what the challenge was for this round, but I may as well do that now.
I think all of your listeners already know what the challenge is.
You mean we only have 6 listeners?
No, you have 23. Already... you have 26 listeners, I believe.
Perhaps. We'll see. Yeah, so, I mean, nobody's going to be listening to this who isn't already a competitor, except for maybe one crazy fan that we have that I believe you know who that person is. But
me.
Who knows? I don't know. But yeah, okay, so the challenge for this round, Spin Tunes Round 2, is the wordless vocals. And they must be, what was the word, prominently featured?
Yes, prominent was the word.
Yeah, so that's something that we're going to be listening to and maybe judging against a little bit. So it's something to keep in mind for all of these songs. They have to feature prominent wordless vocals. I guess I would like to talk about a couple of things about the previous round. The AI song from Ominous Ride did, you know, fall, you know, very into the last group that got eliminated. And I don't think that was a big surprise for anybody. The only person who gave it a fair shot, I believe, was Edric, as far as the judges go. I did like the song, just as I mentioned last time, but I think that AI isn't kind of what this is about. You know, I don't think that if we're judging people on anything, on themselves, then I think that kind of using AI is wrong. Weirdly, I got into a panic when the judges' sort of reviews and rankings were going in, and I had this weird paranoid suspicion of two other artists that maybe those were also AI. And I'm still not 1,000% sure that I'm wrong. I went back and listened to some old songs, and I think that, you know, it's probably, I was probably just being paranoid. But I don't know. Does anybody have any other comments about AI?
Well, I find it a little unsettling that you actually liked the song before you knew that it was AI generated. That seems to suggest that you're being a little unfair. I mean,
unfair.
Like, you know, the person, they wrote the song, they did their best to write the music. They just were lacking, you know, the tools, and they used AI to
hide. Didn't.
I mean, didn't they say they used AI because they didn't have access to their usual suite of tools?
Yeah, but they didn't write the music.
Didn't they sing into something and have it based on that?
Sure. Like they said that's the other thing. We weren't exactly entirely sure to what extent all of this was done. So it's kind of hard to parse out how much of it was them and how much of it was AI. They did mention that they sort of didn't have the resources to be able to produce it. But then on the other hand, they also said that they put their own sort of general voice into the AI.
Let me just be clear here. You know, like I freaking hate AI and the effect that it's having on here. And like, I have no problem with Spin Tunes deciding that AI is outlawed because, you know, it's your contest. You get to decide what you're judging on. And a lot of Spin Tunes, I feel like, is about technical skill, not about just music, regardless of how you get there. And that's fine. I think there's nothing wrong with that. And there's no reason to be apologetic about that if that's what you choose to do.
So, let's move on. I did want to mention one other thing before we move on. I have this stupid bit that we did last Spin Tunes. For example, if you're changing the tempo in a song, you're doing something terribly wrong. You know, and how it's not a good song if you're doing that. So, you know, I'm going to rank you low if you change tempo in a song. And I'll say that like in a podcast, and then the next Spin Tunes challenge will be change tempo during the song. For round one, I did that too. I tried to do that anyway. And I mentioned that wordless vocals are bad and you shouldn't use them in a song. And if you're using them in a song, you're doing something wrong. Just like before, and I thought I was being funny, but then we released it, the podcast, almost a week earlier than we thought we were going to. And that means that the people who had known from the previous Spin Tunes might have gotten a bit of a spoiler. And I apologize for that. I think that maybe very few, if anybody, got it, picked up on it. But just wanted to let you know that was unintentional. I really feel bad about that.
Are you going to do it again? Some?
Oh, hell yes.
You can't do it again if you're going to talk about the fact that you do that.
Are you sure?
Unless you're like, every single song you're going to say, if you do this, you're doing something wrong.
Well, no, I do it artfully.
Yes, Ryan, you do it artfully.
Yes.
Yes.
I finesse it, man.
You finesse it.
That's I'm an the artist.
Perfect word. You are an artist.
All right. Well, be on the lookout for secret messages from Ryan.
All right. Should we start? Anybody have anything that they want to get off their chest?
I don't think so. I'm ready to jump into it. Okay. So first up, we've got the Panna Cotta Army with Oxford Blue.
My chips have gone cold. I'm a sorry sight to behold. My troubles were once few.
I was trying to figure out what this sounded like. I think it's skiffle. I'm going to go with skiffle. It reminds me a little bit of Mungo Jerry's Summertime, which also has some nonsense sort of vocals in it. I think he goes psh, psh. Anyway, that's enough about Mungo Jerry. I think this is an interesting sound, and it's genre appropriate, the kind of scat vocals that he's doing in it. You know, this is a nice and inoffensive sort of song. It also really doesn't stand out for me. And it might be a stylistic thing where, you know, this style is sort of understated and doesn't really reach out and grab you. I didn't have anything negative to say about the song, but I also didn't have a lot positive to say about this song. It was just kind of there.
I thought it was fun. I thought it was, you know, undeniably pleasant. I thought it was really well executed and very well produced and charming. The wordless parts are prominent, maybe a little tacked on, but prominent, even if they're maybe not really incorporated well into the song very cleverly. But that's fine. It doesn't matter. It still checks that box. As for the sort of genre, I'm not thinking about Mungo Jerry. I'm thinking about who's that guy with like the white fedora and the white suit and the huge dark black mustache. If none of us knows who I'm talking about, then this is going to be a terrible...
Not a clue. Oh,
damn it. I'll wake up screaming it later tonight, I'm sure.
Can you record that when you do?
Yes, I will. Yeah, and I'll edit it in. I'll edit it in here right now. 3, 2, 1.
Here's Leon Redbone.
But anyhow, I think it's sort of its whole sort of thing of music. This just relaxed brushes on the drums, easy strum of the guitar, you know, almost tropical kind of a thing. But yeah,
light jazz.
Yeah,
I liked it.
Yeah, but its own sort of super laid back, the defining part of this sort of jazz.
Yeah, I think it was just fine, and that may sound like faint praise, but it is perhaps appropriate. It was just fine. I feel like the scat was really like low energy, which is not what you normally expect. You mentioned they felt kind of tacked on. I did wonder if it was meant to be, the scat was meant to be a representation of the siren song that's mentioned in one of the lyrics, but it's not really connected. They're not close to each other, so I think that may have just been my own delusion. Yeah, it was okay. It was fine.
You drew me in like clickbait, and next thing I'd subscribed. So yeah, I thought it was interesting that the word clickbait appeared in a song of this genre. It feels like it's out of its time.
There is some cutesy stuff like that. I did like "I'm mourning my joie de vivre." I thought that was a nice little turn of phrase. Otherwise, the cleverness of the lyrics didn't really strike me.
All right, let's move on to direction.
Distance, I think.
Distance. All right.
Play button.
Play button. next up is play button with "Jibber Jabber."
Oh, the festivity. Driving me away to a room filled with alcohol, an endless joy for all as families enter the room and feel overwhelmed
by the chibber 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 chibber.
The odd time signature I thought was handled surprisingly well. It seems pretty coherent all the way through, and it doesn't sort of like get in the way of what's going on, and that's great. I thought the wordless part isn't incorporated into the rest of the song very well musically, but it absolutely is incorporated well lyrically into the context of the story of the song. Otherwise, I liked the vocoder part, and you know, I'm pretty much always a fan of backing vocals, so that was fine. Still not sure this is going to be in my top 10. We'll see.
So, like, I thought the melodies and sounds and the verses were kind of unusual, and they didn't really connect with me, but they are interesting. I thought the drop sections with the jibber-jabber, chipper-chapper, wiffle-waffle, all of those, I thought that worked really well to build interest and momentum. I think the rhythm of those words was what was driving those parts forward. Where I may have been flagging a little bit in the verses, that section would kind of wake me up and keep my attention through the song. I like the thumb piano again, the kalimba, and I thought there was some interesting and impressive atmosphere that the song created, but ultimately it's still a bit of a challenging listen for me.
Yeah, the verses, I mean, I don't want to just describe them as tuneless whining and leave it at that, but I mean, they make a nice contrast with the chorus. I will give it that. I like the fact that the chorus had a strong contrast. I liked the content of the chorus. I think using the nonsense at that chorus worked perfectly. But I just feel like the rest of the song needs to be doing more to hold up its end of it. Using a difficultly unfamiliar microtonal scale with that kind of singing might have been asking the listener for more than they are prepared to do for you, especially since that's what you hear first and you have to get through about a minute before you get to the chorus. I don't know. A different listener might feel differently.
All right, next up we've got My Broken Demo Tape with Die Happy.
Lately I feel like I'm struggling with all these things that I'm juggling, and my job makes me wanna na na na, and my body makes me wanna la la la. These days I feel like an anxious mess, and I suppose it's anyone's guess to how I'm ever gonna ha ha ha, cause I think I'm gonna fa fa fa. Fall apart in a public restroom, wake up alone in a guest room, in a cold dark psych ward, hey hey hey, where everybody is way 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 over their heads in psychosis, striking out with every diagnosis, banging their heads against the bay bay bay. There is nothing left to say say say.
I'm immediately taken in by the energy of the song, and as soon as it comes on, I'm reaching for the volume knob to turn it up. It's a song with some really dark themes, but I feel like the underlying message is uplifting in terms of like the lyrics and the energy. And you know, I'm thinking it may have been catharsis for the artist, but the message also really resonates strongly with the listener, at least it did for me. This song may be literally about life and death struggle. You know, many of us, I think, make promises to ourselves that we're going to overcome adversity that we may face. And I feel like I need all of the anthems I can get. This song, I liked it both physically, like it made me move, and it, you know, it appealed to me emotionally. So this is a very good song. It was right up there and probably in my top five.
Yeah, this is what I'd wanted every entry to sound like. You know, I thought this is just really good. It's really my jam. It's sort of this semi-hyper, infectious drive. It's just so good. It's exactly what I wanted. And the backing yelling vocals are awesome. For me, this is top three, really easy. I just really like how, you know, how it's just going. And then he just kind of like runs out of words. Fa, 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 la, la, la. And so, and I know that that's not exactly what's happening, because often enough those words coalesce into something or coalesce into the next word or the next line of the song. But I just love it. It's so, so clever, fun as hell. This is what I'd wanted every one of these entries to sound like. Not exactly, but just have that kind of a approach.
Oh, yeah. I'm in total agreement. This is, I mean, I can just say right now, this is absolutely my favorite song of Spintunes this round. There's by a huge margin. It's such a good song. It's just your classic style. Like, you have like a high energy, sort of bubbly almost music to contrast with lyrics, because you can't really talk directly about it, so you have to be approaching it obliquely. I would say that the nonsense lyrics are just the thinnest, absolute thinnest possible checkbox checking of the requirement, because even though there's constant use of these na 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 la la la, that's all really really clear what word they actually are. There's only one or two places where you could say they're actually nonsense, but I kind of wish there was a little bit more of that, because it's so perfect of a topic, you know, to have nonsense for to cover up the things that just can't be captured in words. But I can't possibly say anything bad about this song. It's just so good all the way through that the final entry, I promised myself that I would die happy. That line in context just hit me so hard. It's so good.
Yeah, it's powerful.
I have nothing bad to say about the song despite my best effort.
All right, next up, Brofestriga with Commercial Thanatology.
Funerary practices are essential to our species. We need to see the dead before us to process all the feelings, to really begin to grieve, to see and to believe that a loved one is really gone and they're not coming back. This really is so long, and long will be our lack. Death Death is our oldest constant, and the grave our oldest spell. A ritual that we all must cast and have cast on us as well.
It's a lecture. And the backing music for this lecture is not compelling. The wordless vocals are present, but they seem sort of hidden. I mean, not like hidden, but it doesn't seem to me like a prominent feature, which doesn't matter. I mean, it's there. That checkbox is checked. We aren't disqualifying anyone this round. But if I'm going to judge how the wordless vocals are presented as a prominent feature of the song, then this song sort of dropped that ball. But mostly I'm not interested in hearing this diatribe any more than, you know, the four or five times that I've already listened to it for this round. It's long. It's somebody yelling at me about something very specific, which I'm not going to disagree with or anything. It's just more, yeah, okay. All right. Not my thing.
Yeah, I have a similar complaint. So as with the last Profestriga, the message I think is the medicine. And the medicine is slightly more palatable this time. So the rhymes are denser. The production is vastly improved from last time. I think the music is sort of dark and moody, and I liked it. But I still feel that there's too much essay and not enough poetry in this song. So while it is a marked improvement from their last effort, my suggestion would be to continue to focus on the rhyme and the rhythm of the words, and try to say more with fewer words. More poetry, less essay.
Oh yeah, absolutely. This is basically like hip-hop. The whole point about hip-hop is that instead of taking its rhythms from traditional rock music or poetry, it takes its music from natural speech rhythms, right? This is like the natural speech rhythm of a history lecture. I honestly feel that you could take this, and with enough time and a talented enough hip-hop artist, you could turn this into a good piece of music, hardly changing any of the other lines. Because the words would work if they were compelling. But as they are delivered, somebody is venting their spleen at me, and it would be compelling if I had a similarly distended spleen. But even though I am completely in agreement with the basic idea, it still is a chore to listen to. That said, I love the chorus. I love the concept behind the chorus. The chorus is taken from people's attempts to actually assign sounds and meanings to a lost language of probably funerary inscriptions, though, as he points out, we don't actually know, and probably a lot of the attempts to translate the inscriptions are people just, you know, just imposing their own preconceived notions. And I love that idea as for the chorus, and I generally liked the sound of the chorus as well. I thought it was actually well done. It's just, you know, it's just a small bit compared to the rest of it, which is a slog.
I agree with you. I think that there's good stuff here that, if it were done in more of a rhythmic way, it would be much more approachable and the medicine would go down easier. Like, for example, there's this line, I'll grant, a penny to the ferryman is fair, which is both wordplay and classical allusion, which
is great.
Effective. You can use F-bombs to underscore a point, but I don't think either usage in this case were all that great. They were more distracting than powerful, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. They don't match the rest of the delivery. And I think you should either have 18 F-bombs in a song or one or zero, you know?
Next, we've got Spin Town and Company with Herobrine.
Maybe I should start with this one. Yeah, I mean, I am the only person on this podcast who'd ever heard of Herobrine before this week. Yeah, I mean, it's okay. I mean, it's kind of a cool idea. I like the idea of it being a song about Herobrine, being like a character of just like this distant lurking menace that you only see out of the corner of your eye. I mean, the song feels like an anime anthem. In order to pull that off, I think it needs to stay inside the world of the video game, you know, of the Minecraft character. But most of it is actually from the point of view of the person outside as a player, looking up on 4chan and like going through all of the lore about Herobrine. It kind of felt a little like it didn't work for me. And of course, the bridge, which is the attempt to get in the nonsense words, was really pretty weak. I'm sorry, guys. I appreciate the novelty of imitating a battle. I think having Herobrine just speak in like this strange eldritch language would have been a much better excuse to get in the nonsense requirement while still keeping to the feeling of the song. In the end, it's like, I appreciate the ideas behind it, but I feel like the execution was a little weak, uninspired.
I think so too. Musically, there's a lot to like here. I like the call and response vocals in the chorus. And musically, this sounds a little bit like a track from Bad Religion, which I'm certainly here for. I think the Minecraft sounds in the bridge were cute and funny, and it made me laugh a little bit. But ultimately, I got no emotional response from this song. So there's very little chance I'll listen to it again or want to listen to it again. I can intellectually appreciate the craft that went into creating the song. Like, there are dynamics and like there's all these songwriting craft elements that stand out in the song, but because it didn't really resonate with me emotionally, I feel like it's hollow and lifeless a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with everything you two have said, really. I thought it was well produced, but it's well produced butt rock. It's kind of Dokken, kind of winger, maybe. I don't know. And, you know, it's a problem if you're going to have this next to Temnir song. A Flint Steel song, too, because they're similar territory, you know, but I think that Flint Steel is noticeably better, noticeably more interesting to listen to. The wordless vocal part is the only interesting part of the song, I thought, really, because it just sort of breaks out and it's different. And it's noticeable, and it's not like any other butt rock song you've heard. And so I think what they should have done is they should have repeated it like 4 times in the song, because otherwise this isn't really engaging, and it didn't really have anything for me.
I don't think the concept behind those wordless vocals would have stood up to a 4th repetition.
But what else was there in the song? You know, it's kind of like, it was the only kind of really fun and sort of interesting part of it is
really?
was my thing. Okay, you would have dragged it into novelty territory, maybe, arguably.
I think it's already there, though.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, and I feel like there's plenty of like fun in just like the 4chan references and all things. Although maybe, I don't know, maybe that you need to like have heard of Herobrine before that to really find any fun in it. Otherwise, it's just like somebody babbling.
Yeah, I do think that he has essentially mentioned that these are songs for him and for his crowd too. It's like he's acknowledged that not everybody is going to get all of these references. Not everybody's going to understand it. But I remember the last song, you know, for round one, I really appreciated it, even though it was also not for me and I didn't understand the words, you know, essentially at all. But I just thought the melody was good and the way that it was all delivered, just kind of engaging and captivating. And here we don't have any of that, I don't think. And I wish I could say technically exactly why, but I'm not entirely sure.
Next up, we've got The Moon Bureau with Runcible Spoon.
Having a lunch with the Runcible Spoon, darkening clouds of gathering dew. I wrote an Oxford song for you.
I've never been an Edward Lear fan myself, but I recognize, you know, his stuff. I am actually more of a Lewis Carroll sort of nonsense guy when it comes to this sort of thing. When I wrote it, the song was, it's almost delightful. I like what they're doing. I feel like this is a song that almost that I could have written, you know, in an alternate universe where I have musical skills. I feel like it just falls a little bit short, but I really like the concept behind it. I would have preferred like a more mixture of flavors, I think. I don't know if that makes sense, but it just felt like it was a little too much of the same sort of thing musically. On the other hand, there is a mixture of like flavors in the lyrics by pulling from all these different directions. Edward Lear mixed with Hanna-Barbera mixed with a German pop song. You know, conceptually, I love the song.
I certainly like the jangly hippie guitars and the overall vibe. I like the idea of using nonce words as an approach to the challenge. And I think this is a cute, non-offensive song. Referencing Hanna-Barbera and the 99 Luftballons will likely charm the judges of a certain age. And I feel like I'm in that category.
Ditto.
Although, yeah. I think I'm picking up on what Brian was saying, is that it's lacking a little bit on substance and length. And I think that'll serve for the nonce. But next round, the competition is going to be tougher. They're going to need to bring more of their A game. Not that this was lazy, but it just was very short. It was about 2 minutes. It was cute, but I would like something more of substance from them.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about writing a nonsense song and leaning into like the use of nonsense words is that feeling that you actually understand them even though you don't know what they mean. And I think they mostly actually succeeded at that. I feel like a lot of the nonsense words on here actually do work in context, but they're just a little, there's just not enough of them, and they don't take enough chances with it. It's just a little glorpy.
Well, I mean, yeah, glorp is exactly the word that I have all through my notes. You know, I don't like hippy-dippy bullshit music, but this is so fun and charming and lovable. I think they have the sound down really well, to the extent that it sort of sounds like it's being played on a bad cassette player or a bad turntable, which just adds to that charm. And I kind of love this song, and I'm sold on the pop the 99th Luftballon or whatever the hell that lyric was. I just thought it was charming as hell, and if it makes me smile and bob my head, then that is worthwhile. So I'm gonna probably rank it pretty high. Let's move on to West of Vine with their song, Made Me Say Whoa.
You said, why can't I find the joy when you play Riptide? You said, why can't I be more like the dude who abides? You had nothing nice to say. You said it all.
This seems like sort of a first thought, neat, fun approach idea for this challenge. And yeah, it's neat and it's fun and it sounds great. And, you know, I liked his previous semi-G&G entry, and I'm glad he has more production on this one. The thing is, I just think other competitors did this better. And that's the only reason this probably won't be in the top five for me. I think it's a solid sort of middle ground for me. I enjoyed this song, but I just think the overall approach was a little basic, maybe? I'm not sure.
I had the same feeling. I was happy to hear more instrumentation and more production than last time. The sound is more lush and full than it was, so that's a plus. I really like the electric piano when it comes in at the end of the song, and there are lots of little touches throughout. Having whoa and oh be pretty much the whole chorus, I think fulfills the letter of the challenge and maybe subverts it a little bit too. Like, whoa and oh are actual words though, so, but I digress. And you know, it's 2 minutes and 12 seconds, so it's a little short and it's a little light on substance, but yeah, middle tier song. I certainly like the sound of it.
Just to follow up with your digression.
Leon Redbone. Leon Redbone. That's who I was thinking when we were talking about Panna Cotta Army. Leon freaking Redbone. All right, I'm sorry.
I'm so happy for you, Ryan.
I would have lost sleep over it.
To continue with your digression, Mike, I would say that, like, not only is woe and oh real words, but in the bio, the notes at the very end, he says woe is not a real word. And like, I'm sorry, you can't just take a very common misspelling of woe and claim that makes it not a real word. But nonetheless, I think it was well used, and it was well used in the style of that genre of music, of rock music. I'm perfectly happy to say that fulfills the requirement, you know, if a bit lightly. I think I agree. It's a good song, maybe just a little mid, a little uninspired. I don't really have anything to complain about, and I guess I just don't have anything really to highlight either.
On that note, what do you say we move on to Cardamom Seed, an exemplar study on how not to be a pop star.
How many feathers does it take to fly, to lift up your skirts, miss the ground and infer the sky? This can't be the splash that you wanted to make. Your face on a book says you're lost and you ripped up your face. I hate to see, I hate to see, I hate to see, I hate to see, I hate to see.
The backing vocals in the verses are really great, and they add a ton of vibe to the song. I noticed them right away, and I'm really pleased that they're prominent throughout the song. And it's not often that backing vocals have such an impact, but I think these backing vocals really punch above their weight. The nonsense words in the chorus are also pretty effective, and this song creates a really distinct feeling. And while I'm not entirely sure what it's about, it's certainly about something, and that makes it entertaining. These guys are, I think, some of the same people involved in the Dutch Widows.
Oh, this is definitely Dutch Widows.
This is definitely Dutch Widows. What did you think? Yeah. I know that you're a big fan.
Oh, yeah. No, I love these guys. This song seems particularly hypnotic to me, kind of borderline spooky, but it's completely engaging. It's such a vibe. Maybe not the best incorporation of wordless vocals, but hey, you know, that checkbox is fully checked for this song. And you know that gut level appeal holds a ton of weight for me, so this is going to be rated really high. I just enjoy this a lot. I like listening to it.
Yeah, I thought, actually, unlike you, I thought the chorus was, like, by far the standout best part of the song. I loved the use of the wordless vocals and just the sound of the chorus. That was the best part of it. I think, at the end of the day, I like the fact that I don't really understand what the song is about. I think that lends itself to the appeal of it, and it would actually be what would actually get me to listen to it multiple times, ultimately. Although I found it kind of off-putting the first listen, but it worked better on the second listen because of that. It drew me in and made me wanted to spend more time with it.
All right, up next is Stacking Theory with Deep.
Open up on the frown of a man who found that the sound of the world is bringing him down. So he tries to escape to a quiet place, but the only place he has found is deep, 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 deep underwater.
This is sort of, at least it starts out sort of borderline a cappella. You know, I can hear the xylophone and the horns and the guitar. And I do like the horns, even though they do sound pretty fake. I don't like calling this out, too, because I think that fake horns are fine. We don't expect somebody to hire an orchestra for any of this. And not just that, but they sound better and better the further along we get. I do notice that Stacking Theory is really working that articulation module on those horns, and it is effective. And I like this song. I think it has a lot of appeal. Not really danceable, but that's fine.
I think it was a really smart idea to sample a bunch of vocal sounds and then load them up into a sequencer and make beats out of them. And it works really well in the start of the song when it's especially noticeable before other elements come in and sort of drown out some of that. I feel like it evokes a feeling of being underwater, or at the very least it feels somewhat wet. So good job there. There's all those lines about being deep and sinking and being carried off. It worked. Like, it definitely had a wet, watery feeling to it. You know, it's always great when the lyrics and the music work together to give you an overall feeling. So the instrumentation and orchestration here I also thought was somewhat impressive, and I was impressed by it. So very well done, guys.
Yeah, I feel like this is the song that was most closely written with somebody who has my musical sensibilities. It felt like the kind of stuff that I just listen to normally. Using the vocals as a musical instrument to make the nonsense things, I thought that was absolutely perfect. It was a great way to intro the song. Then you've got the first verse, which is more about explaining what's going on, and then you just hit the repeated deep, 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 and I think that ties it all in. It works really well. My only really complaint is the outro. I felt was kind of weak. It didn't really connect with me. It felt like it took me out of the mood of the song that I had was perfectly invested in, happy to stay in.
Okay, next up we've got Seabass with I Taught My Dog to Speak.
I taught my dog to speak. I taught my dog to speak. I thought that it'd be chic. Oh, I taught my dog to speak. I taught my dog to speak. I taught my dog to speak. Well, it took almost a week. Oh, I taught my dog to speak. And he said,
"Get a job, you deadbeat."
Nah, just kidding. He said,
"Woof, woof, woof, woof. Bark, 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 bark. Ruff, 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 ruff. Bark, 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 bark. Woof, woof, ruff, ruff, ruff. Muffa, muffa, muffa.
So this song is cute. I'm just going to say it. It was cute. The chorus is infectious and fun. I love my dog. I love dogs generally. So the song is right up my alley. Having said that, the little skits of what the dog said, they do run a little long at times, and I feel like they overstay their welcome. It probably would have been better if the song was, you know, if it cut the last verse and chorus entirely and shaved maybe 50 seconds off the end of the song. I just felt that the whole conceit started to wear on me a little bit at the end, and I was a little less charmed with it than I was initially.
Yeah, cute is the perfect adjective for this. I think it's a cute novelty song. And for me, it sounds a little like a children's song, and that's fine, but it's not really my groove. You know, I'm not really in love with this song, and I'm not sure why. And I think I'm going to have to listen to it more to figure out why, really, because especially if it you know, risks, you know, my, you know, going lower in my rankings, I should be able to point out why. But, like, maybe it's too repetitive. Or maybe they're like, isn't enough bass or needs some more kind of middle range or something. It just sort of, there's something about it that I'm not sure. And I'm going to have to listen to it more.
Yeah, like there's a lot of repetition in this song. And, you know, I taught my dog to speak. I taught my dog to speak. I taught my dog to speak. It was hard, I will concede. You know, yeah, I feel like this is a joke that has been drawn out way too long. As a certain dog told me, the essence of comedy is a subversion of your expectations. And so you, by the end of the song, I'm sorry, there is no subversion of expectations. It is absolutely a sticking to the expectations that have been set up. I will say it's a great use of the harmonica. I thought the harmonica was really well done. And it lent a lot of nice flavor to the song that otherwise kind of outstayed its welcome.
All right, up next we have With Joe singing No Better Next Time.
And I could do no wrong. I was the best little boy I could be. So when I find someone trying to disagree with what I know is right, it's clear to me there's no cure in this insanity. You may as well be saying, Te wonk oi, trwm zoi nid oi, wonk nid oi tyfn nid i na.
This is a super duper extra talented vocalist. The song itself, though, this one is, it seems a little thin somehow. I don't know. I mean, I like it. I just think maybe the chorus is a little weak. Like, if that is wordless nonsense, then I sort of think you might as well do sort of a different set of wordless nonsense each instance. I mean, you could argue that consistency is better, but I'm not sure. I mean, you get consistency typically during choruses. But in this case, I'm not so sure. There are other songs that have done this sort of thing. There's going to be one coming up a little while that I think did it delightfully. But this one, yeah, I just thought maybe the song was a little thin for me.
I agree with your first point. Good vocals go a long way to making a song engaging and listenable. And even though at the start this song doesn't have a lot of elements, it's mostly vocals and piano and finger snaps at the start, but it hooks me right away. And I like how the instrumentation slowly builds, like a bass gets added sort of in the second verse, then backing vocals come in, and then a nice arpeggiated synth comes in to fill it out as the song builds. So I appreciate the craft there. This is a very pleasant listen, but I agree that there's something about the non-vocal parts, or the, what am I trying to say, the nonsense word parts that was just less than satisfying. Like, they were repeated, but I feel like if you get to make up your own words, you can make them up so that they rhyme, or they have, like, a rhythmic interest to them. I think I would have just taken another whack at those nonsense words and gotten something more satisfying out of them.
Well, to be fair, just, I don't know if you noticed this, the nonsense words are actually based on attempting to put into normal sounds some backwards lyrics. Not that they recorded backward lyrics, but that they are an attempt to capture backwards lyrics as regular words. And I actually kind of appreciated that. I really like that generally, that trying to use that kind of thing, using backwards things as if they are forwards. So I did appreciate that. I did feel like this was some good ideas that didn't really quite make it all the way. I'm afraid I wish I had more to say about this song. It was okay. I liked it well enough.
I didn't know that about the reversed lyrics.
Yeah. It says it in the bio. They are nonsense syllables are loosely based on reverse words. You know what? You think you're smart, but you don't know anything. Admit you're wrong about the world, because if you don't, you'll never learn. That's the text. If they were still forwards.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Okay.
So yeah, so that is part of it. And I agree with you, Mike, that, you know, he could have done more, perhaps, maybe to try to get them to work musically, rhythmically, when I still appreciate them for what they are.
That sounds like a hell of a fun challenge, trying to get backwards lyrics to rhyme when they're being done backwards. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the rhyme I would leave off on that. But, you know, they could have been more interesting rhythmically, perhaps.
Next up, we've got Celestial Drift with Ambassol.
I wake up in the morning and without any warning, I can feel the sting of these errors forming. When I try to aim my potato chips, I just feel like grease a blaze up against my lips. And my gums are looking like a bag of ground beef, and I'm dodging little mines when I brush my teeth. I got that horrible, that horrible oral pain, but I open up the temple and then sleep eight. One drop, two drop, three drop, four, I gotta have relief from this canker sore.
And I imagine Flub dragging his amps and guitars out into the desert amongst the cactuses and tumbleweeds. He plugs everything into a diesel generator and begins a epic stoner rock concert. And I'm definitely there for it. This song has got the right kind of driving rhythms and head-banging power that I'm into. My only criticism is, I think perhaps the vocals are a little too far forward in the mix. I think it would be better if they were buried back a little further bit. I also think it would add to the mystery of the song a little bit more if canker sores weren't explicitly mentioned. It was left more ambiguous about what the Ambisol was actually used for. And I like the idea of people thinking that it was to get high or something, and that kids might be taking Ambisol because they got into the stoner rock song. I think that would have been cool. But yeah, I like this, and this is one of these things where I have genre bias in favor of this song.
I'll admit it, I got genre bias for it too. I think it's a lot of fun. You know, I'd called out some other songs about being novelty songs, so just to be fair, I should do that for this one too, but this sounds kind of more interesting than most of them. And it sounds more genre than most of them. More legit than most of them, I think. It's probably just my genre bias kind of creeping in too. But it's driving, and it's full, and I think it's more of a head bobber than most of the songs on this list. I like this a lot, and I thought the wordless vocals were incorporated very well and very prominently into the song, and it's fun as heck. What's to dislike? I dug it.
I have a feeling we're going to find out what there is to dislike shortly.
Dude, don't spoil my intro. Yeah, I also have a genre bias against this. You could hardly have picked a genre that would make me unhappy than this. So I think that, yeah, treating it as a novelty song is the only way to appreciate it. And so I actually appreciate the lyrics were clear about what it's about. I will give the guy points. I mean, if you're going to go this route, you lean into it. And that's what he did. He went all out and just held nothing back. And I think that's the only way to make this work. But yeah, I am absolutely not in the target audience, nor should I be. And so I think the fact that I could barely sit through one listen of this song is absolutely in this song's, you know, favor.
All right, let's move on to Cave Dwellers with Oak Town Races.
Cave Dwellers.
I thought this is good and fun and imminently diggable. It's another one of those head-bobbing songs that just goes along really, really well. And, you know, Truth can do no wrong as a vocalist. The wordless vocals are mostly just backing vocals, but those, quote, just backing vocals, unquote, are excellent. So I think it's a great, great job, and I enjoyed this one a ton.
Yeah, I like this song a ton as well. It's right up my alley. This is the kind of power pop thing that I really go in for. We could talk about, do doo-wop vocals or doo-wop backing vocals, do they really embrace the challenge and to an appropriate degree? And I honestly don't give a shit because it's close enough. And this, if you make a great song, I'm absolutely happy to suppress my inner rules lawyer and just stop thinking about challenges so much. So there are so many killer elements to the song. I love how the bass comes in at the end of the first verse. I love Truth's Alex Chilton-style vocals and falsetto. And of course, the backing vocals are just wonderful. The rhythm guitars also sound extremely good to me, especially right before the start of the third verse, where most of the other instruments have dropped out. Don't get me started on harmonized slide guitar solos towards the end. I absolutely love this track and have really no notes at all.
Cool. Well, yeah. I really like the use of the doo-dah, hinted at by the title, so you know what you're getting into. And just it's very much like the way Stacking Theory, they seem to be using almost like a pre-recorded vocals as an instrument. And that's exactly the kind of thing that I thought was going to be appearing throughout this challenge when you guys described it to me. Very much appreciated it. I got a little distracted because I really can't tell what the lyrics are trying to get at. And I found that kind of a little off-putting because I felt like I should be able to. You know, I can't really get too annoyed because I'm confused. It did feel like it was meant to be like a story about friendships like breaking up due to competitiveness, maybe like in a school environment or something. But I feel like most of the lyrics don't actually hold up to that. It's just something I'm opposing, so.
Next up, we've got Sober with Plastic Patty.
I am a plastic patty, I got stories I can tell. Passed down from my granddaddy, a proud American Celt. And if he were alive today, he'd tell you just the same. How his great-granddaddy came from Ireland with an Irish name.
I totally understand where this song is coming from. I know that I don't have any Celtic blood whatsoever in me, but that doesn't stop me from wishing that I did. I would have loved to have belt out the Galway Races or Ye Jacobites by name, or God forbid, come out ye black and tans at a smoky bar somewhere. And I even went as so far as to learn some of those tunes on guitar, but thankfully I never performed them. This one was a layup for Sober. The Irish lilting thing, that diddly-idle-ay, is a way of meeting the challenge in a genre-appropriate context, and this is a genre that he is quite familiar with. Anyway, so I also love the Yankee Doodle quotation at the end of the song, bringing out the Americanness of the singer. And unlike that last song where Brian was kind of wondering what the lyrics meant, this one was exactly obvious what the lyrics meant. It was very clear. Yeah, so just the lively instrumentation at the end of the song was also great.
Yeah, I love this novelty song. I was hooked at the first diddly doodle, hidely didly, whatever. I did not like how he slipped into talk singing more than once in the song. Like, I get it if you're trying to do something different to bring a different feeling to, you know, a discrete phrase of the text or whatever, but beyond that, it's a little off base. But hey, it doesn't matter. I love this song, and I listen to it probably more than any other in this list because it's delightful. And delightful is worth a lot to me. You know, it's going to get annoying maybe after the 50th song I heard it. You know, maybe, maybe not. I'll let you know. I suspect it's going to be ranked pretty highly in my list. And yeah, again, delightful. Hi the diddly idle, doodle idle, doodle idle, idle all day.
In some ways, it's a bit of a cheat to go to a genre that is expected to employ nonsense as a way of meeting the challenge. But I mean, if the judging is to make it seem like you're actually using wordless vocals in a way that feels natural, then this is absolutely a standout, because they just did where it was almost de rigueur to have a nonsense chorus. And I think the story was great. It's an incredibly relatable one. I know plenty of people who've had similar experiences, but it's not one that's been done to death by musicians. So I thought it was a great idea for a song, and the execution, yeah, no notes.
All right, up next we've got Berkeley Social Scene doing Not Doomed.
Every day you read the papers, looking for some kind of sign, deciphering the coded message, reading your horoscope and mine. Every
And okay, this is another double up song fight entry, which is fine, but also, yeah, whatever. This is a good song, and I'm sure it will win song fight this week. I like the backing vocals, and I like the whistling a lot. The production is good, and the guitar work is very strong. But it's a little plodding in the tempo. The wordless stuff is just the backing vocals, not absolutely all that prominent, but they're really good backing vocals. And I like the non-wordless falsettos, non-wordless, meaning having words, the falsetto stuff from Glennie in the pre-chorus. I thought that was really, really nice. But also, Electric Dreams, Dancing in the Dark, this is not the cliche challenge. This is the wordless vocal challenge.
Yeah, yeah. I would describe this song as an 80s rock ballad, but it's no Total Eclipse of the Heart. And it's not bad as far as these things go. I also like the call and response parts in the pre-chorus with Glennie. I thought that was very well done. And the guitar solo, I think, is appropriately epic. And Ken's vocals on the final chorus have a nice soaring quality to them, which I liked. So I'm impressed for nailing the sound, but like you... You know, I like the backing vocals, but I'm not sure that an ooh vowel sound is really embracing the spirit of the challenge. But, you know, whatever. The lyrics are fine, but I also thought they were a bit trite in places.
Yeah, I really got nothing to add. The lyrics were forgettable. The whistle was the best part of the song.
Okay, on that note, let's move on to Szymanski with Cross These Silver Lines.
Shocker, you're alive then you're dead. I said the monster's living inside your head. Oh, when you stumble, do you trip or you fall? This false perspective gets the best of us all. A knock knock thumping hard on my chest. Competing thoughts, my mind's manifest. Oh, what a shocker, you kick while I'm down. And I'm down, and I'm down, and I'm down, and I'm down. Across the
I like the drama in this song, and I can kind of picture in my mind's eye Szymanski on a stage with a top hat and cane, you know, singing and dancing through this number. I think the scat vocalizations work really well in the context of the song, and they're appropriate and not weird or out of place sounding, so good job there. I did have a lyrical criticism, though. You know, this song is well-produced and well-performed, like most of Szymanski's stuff, but there's this line, it goes... TikTok, as the pendulum swings, just get your coat and your belongings. And belongings is a really awkward word to put at the end of that line because of the way the word stresses fall. I think it would have been better if it was and grab all of your things. You wouldn't have had to wrap your mouth around belongings. I just thought that stuck out at me every time I heard it. So we had a little listening party here live with all three of us, and that caught my ear then, and it also caught my ear on the second and third listen. So yeah, but that's just a minor quibble, but I was happy to have found something to quibble about because this is pretty good.
Yeah, stylistically this reminds me so much of a song called Various Kitchen Utensils by Skybox that it's a little distracting, and I kind of wonder if Szymanski has heard it. But regardless, anyway, this is a great performance. The nasal verses get a little grating after a while, but still, I like it well enough. Produced so very, very well, and I do appreciate a good production. That's never a backhanded compliment from me when I appreciate a song's production. This definitely met the wordless vocal requirement really well, too. So, yeah, I'm happy with it.
I would agree with Ryan about the nasalness in them. The lyrics in general, you know, I've really found it hard to... I feel like it would be hard to connect to the song unless you've had a very specific experience. You know, after I listened to it a few times, I read the bio and I said, oh, okay. And like, that really makes sense. And I now I kind of like the song, but I feel like it's tough, you know, if you... Do you care if somebody who hasn't had these exact experiences also can still relate to them? That may just be me. I don't know. And I really like the use of the violin. I thought that was excellent. I love the abrupt cutoff at the end. All that part was really well done.
All right. Next up is the Alleviators doing Breakthrough.
Do you know the feeling like the ceiling's too low? Like you're pressed up to the glass with no room to grow. From the other room.
This is so good, so clean. I think it's really great 90s pop. It's a really strong, driving song with excellent, excellent performances, especially the vocal performances. You know, I love both of those singers. It's just lovely. It's just amazing. The wordless aspect is the good backing vocals and then, of course, the scatting during the guitar solo, which was fine, but that scatting was... absolutely not my favorite part of the song. Maybe my least favorite part of the song, actually. In general, you know, I was hoping that this challenge would inspire people to make fun, good songs and great, quirky use of wordless vocals. And, you know, sometimes, like some of the other challenges, it just got in the way. And it might have gotten in the way of this one. It's certainly there. You know, it's certainly prominently, you know, featured. That's maybe, again, not my favorite part of the song.
What struck me about this song is that a good bass part can really add a lot. And I think the bass in this song is really great, especially in the beginning when it's very prominent. The vocal scatting during the song, like during what I would call the scat solo, I felt like there's an obvious technical proficiency here, which I was kind of in awe by. She's such an amazing singer, and those notes just rang with a clarity that I couldn't even approach. So very impressive in the singing there. I think that was actually my favorite part of the song, and so it's interesting we had different takes on that. I feel that they really responded to some of the criticisms from their Round One song and brought their A game on this one, because the production was just top notch, and there was not really a hair out of place in this song. So I'm generally not a fan of this late 90s R&B style. Like, it sounds to me like Destiny's Child or something like that, but this is expertly done, so I don't have any notes, and I think I'm going to rate this song rather highly.
I do have to say I appreciate you describing it as late 90s R&B, because you put into words what I just kind of had a vague sensation of. Yeah. I think I had a more positive reaction on the first listening to it, just because there are so few female vocalists in this entire contest. So I really liked that aspect of it. Yeah, upon multiple listenings, it's just not my genre. The lyrics kind of are a little too vague to be specific enough to connect to. I'm afraid I had a very milquetoast, lukewarm, mild reaction to the song, and nothing much to say. Sorry about that. It's fine enough for what it's doing.
Next up, we've got Delaney with Who Am I? Well,
American society. But is it me or some kind of facsimile? I'm not Kilroy, I'm not in a rail. I'm behind a curtain or at least some kind of veil. A whole lot of Jabra, the middle of the frip. A whole lot of Gilligan and Jack Tabor. And this year is such a trip.
During the listening party, Ryan and I and Brian were all in the same room, and when I heard that vocoder again, I looked at Ryan and we grinned at each other. I also quipped that Fatboy Slim wants his drum loop back when the breakbeat kicked in. But that was cool, because there's an energy to this song which is undeniable, and it starts a little bit slow, so I was a little bit worried at first. It really picked up as the song went along, and I was bopping my head to this after that. You know, I'm here for Glennie's self-reflective wondering and who he is, and in response to the sort of strident denials from the definitely not secretly Glennie people. So what can I say? I find all of the in-jokes associated with this fun, and this song doesn't hurt that it's up-tempo prog rock song, and the who am I lines in the chorus I think are pretty great.
I respect Glennie and his things, but his music is not to my taste, and generally speaking, so I don't feel like he should care about my opinion at all. It was okay. I liked some of the lyrics. I liked the subtle, befuddled rhyme. I thought that was really well done. Ultimately, though, this is a huge in-joke, and like all in-jokes, they are a bit opaque to somebody who is outside.
I think it's fair about the in-joke stuff, but, you know, since we're here... I'm going to take the license to enjoy that in joke stuff. I think this is a good, funny, meta, well-produced and enjoyable response to, well, another band in this competition. So I just enjoyed this a whole lot. But the only big problem with the song is that in this scenario, we know the deal with the singer better than the singer does. So he's setting himself up as a sort of a, I don't know, what would you call it? Like an unreliable narrator? And if we know anything about music, it's that you should never, ever, ever have an unreliable narrator in a song. Like, if I could disqualify this song because it has an unreliable narrator, then I definitely would do that, but I'm not allowed to. It's, you know, it doesn't matter. But just know that if your song has an unreliable narrator in it, then it is not music, and it's bad, and you're doing something wrong.
You have some oddly specific tastes.
I would almost say that you are subtle and befuddled.
Nonsense. Moving on to, also in blue, Tenebrae.
There's a cradle in the corner of the room. Outside the window, see the moon is new. The night is dark, the sky is falling. They've been gone perhaps an hour, maybe two. And we sit and wait for news. There's nothing else to do, but no one's calling. The clock is ticking, but the sound is muffled, strange and slurred. The smallest hours stretch and grow beyond absurd. And we sit waving prayers from ashes and the songs of rising birds in the hour before the sunrise, where there aren't any.
Now, the second half of this song is so very Never Understand by Elliott Smith that I can't help but think that Also in Blue might have gotten infected by the mention of the song in the round one examples. This is just lovely. You know, the wordless vocal bit is incorporated extremely well. Contextually, and also just musically in the song, and it's performed beautifully. It's just excellent, and I don't really have all that much to say beyond that.
Unexpectedly, I feel the same way. This song is incredibly pretty, and it has that kind of bittersweet melancholy that I am really into. The vocals are gorgeous, and I love how the line "Rising Birds" is the highest sung note in falsetto, which is, you know, word painting. I see what you're doing there. The la-da-das end harmonically, like, in this incredibly sweet, layered backing vocal sound that is just beautiful. The overall effect is just incredible. I would say this song is over too soon. That is my only real complaint.
Yeah, I feel like this is a solid entry into the G&P genre. Guy and Sultry.
What?
Wait, wait. Sultry doesn't begin with a P.
Yeah, Sultry begins with a P. P-S-A-L-T-E-R-Y. It's a musical instrument. Duh. I assume it's what, you know, Also in Blue is playing. I don't actually know. I mean, maybe it's just a guitar with special, you know, electronic effects on it. But yeah, to me, it immediately suggested Guy and Sultry. That may be partly also influenced by the subject matter of the song, though. I'll give you that.
Say Dulcimer.
Dulcimer is struck, though. It sounded more plucked to me.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, I just felt that it was okay. It's thin is the only complaint I would have with it. It's just like, I really wanted there to be more there. But I mean, if you're just going to make a G&P song, then you have to lean into that. So I would also say that Tenebrae runs the risk of being a very pretentious title. If that's not what you're going for, it feels like it's going to send most of your non-Catholic listeners running to the dictionary, and a number of your Catholic listeners running to the dictionary as well. It's a great word, but it sounds like there should be a goth anthem immediately coming from it. And that's not the mood you're going for. So I would pick something a little more down to earth as a title.
Up next, we've got Governing Dynamics with Stay Dreaming. That choral beginning is nice, I think. And the rest of the song is excellent and has a good groove. I did notice that accidental repeat of the word silence in the first verse. I mean, the written lyrics rhymes science with silence, but in the actual performance, that just repeats silence. And so he rhymes silence with silence. Jerkatorium has done much worse. I don't hold it against him. I still think this is a lovely song. The wordless vocals arguably not incorporated well, but hard to fault them for it when the song sounds so nice. Yeah, I'm a fan.
I also like this style. I would classify this as 90s emo indie rock, and it's got a lot of the elements that I like from bands like Jets to Brazil or Knapsack. They're sad guitars, pretty melodies, layered harmony vocals, and lyrics that are evocative but not explicit. I feel like the chorus in the song builds nicely, but maybe it robs us from release a little bit. It just sort of stalls out. And the second time the chorus came around at the listening party, I really expected for there to be a big release. And we almost got one with the line, and I won't sound any alarm, but it didn't land quite as hard as I would have liked, but that's a minor complaint. This is very well done, and I keep hearing new details and things I like about the song each time I listen to it, so I'll probably give it a few more listens before the final judgment, but this is an excellent Governing Dynamics song, so I'm happy with it.
Governing Dynamics is one of the bands that I feel like writes the kind of music that I listen to normally, so I definitely have genre bias with their stuff, but I like this song. I will say, though, and this connects up with what I was saying earlier about Cave Dwellers, I actually really like the lyrics until I read the bio and then explained them to me. And it's frustrating too, because I can tell that from the bio that the guy is frustrated that he feels that he has to explain his songs because nobody ever gets them if he doesn't explain them. So he felt that he had to explain it, and that absolutely made it less interesting because it was cryptic, and that made me interested until I learned, oh yeah, of course, it's about the thing that I have been thinking about and that the world headlines have been talking about constantly for years. Yeah, okay, now it all makes sense and I get it all.
It was better with a little bit of mystery.
I was totally into the mystery, but you know, I can hardly fault Governing Dynamics for feeling like they were in a bind where they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't.
Yeah, it's really unfair for us to complain that he has robbed us of the mystery.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But absolutely, it works great with the mystery in this particular case. So I can't speak to the other experiences that Governing Dynamics has had, but I'd say like, yeah. Yeah, when you finally do, you know, put this on your album, leave this off the liner notes.
All right, speaking of liner notes, next, we've got the Boffo Yucks dudes with One Fine Evening at the Jazz Club.
Zoink, Scoob! Look at all those people! It's crazy, man! Hey, Fred, what actually is in the Scooby snacks? I mean, they taste great, but like, what am I eating, man? Retrogression Reuben Rash.
You want to start on this one, Brian?
Only if you guys want it to be a hatchet piece.
I feel like we've all got our hatchets out, so it doesn't matter who goes
there,
first.
There's not much, you know, to be said about this. I mean, it's a cute idea. Some of the jokes land, but it's a pretty weak execution overall. I mean, the Scooby-Doo imitation is weak. The Bob Dylan imitation is weak.
Ooh, I got bugs on me.
And I don't want to death is there.
Sorry. Oh my god.
The Scooby-Doo laugh is pretty good.
Yeah, the Scooby-Doo laugh's pretty good. Like the Shaggy impression is the best, I think.
That's good too. That's solid.
Solid, yeah.
Even that I thought was weak.
Did he feed Shaggy human flesh? Is that what happened?
Oh.
I don't know. That's, I guess, kind of cool.
I think the what am I eating line is meant that there's drugs in the Scooby snacks, not that it's human flesh. Good lord.
The first Scooby line is, once we've tasted human flesh, it's hard to go back. This is why I don't do Scooby impressions.
I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah. I retract my comment. But that's Scooby. I mean, it's not cannibalism.
Oh, that's true.
That's very true.
You can't blame a dog for having eaten people, you know.
Yeah. You can blame a human for eating dog food, even if that dog food is people.
Anyway, yeah. Some of the jokes land, but overall, this is a very forgettable entry, I feel. And also, how hard is it to iron an ascot? They're pretty flat.
Good Lord. Fred.
Yeah, no, it's essentially a fun skit. The execution, a little rocky here and there, but a great Scooby laugh and a great Shaggy. All right, well then next up, we've got DNSG. Definitely not Secretly Glennie with Scatterbrain.
You sat down and twirled your hair. That's why I was just standing there. Your wide open beside the pool. Look kind of
except for the drool. Then I sat down, stared right at your nose, scraped up my chair, got uncomfortably close. I whispered, I've got a secret, I'm a touch insane. Got a twingy, twangy, twiddling stuck inside my brain. Won't be left on, I surely drown. Pressure's on my body locks, and then I'll hear this sound. Scat-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Scat-do-de-do-de-do. Ba-loom-ba-boom, ba-ba-boo-boo-boo.
And my first thought on this was, oh no, DNSG has turned into a jam band hippy dippy yawn fest. At least until we get to the Shadows. That's foreshadowing there. I do really like the wordless part, but the full song I think is a bit difficult to get through.
Yeah, I'm not sure that blues rock and bossa nova has ever successfully been fused together before, and I'm not sure it has yet.
Yeah,
that changeup is somewhat jarring, but I sort of like it. Like, I like the bossa nova parts more than the blues rock parts. I think this is a lot less successful than their first effort. But, you know, it's still got pretty great production values, and it did get a laugh from me. But, yeah, this one just doesn't hit the same way.
Yeah, I do appreciate that they are one of the few entries that made nonsense music to go with their nonsense words. Just the contrast is enjoyable and fun. But yeah, ultimately it doesn't really gel into a coherent whole for me. It's just okay. They're, in the bio, they commented that it was kind of like a smash cut in a movie, switching between the two. And I appreciate that as a analogy.
You like it as an analogy, but not as a justification.
Yeah, no, I mean, actually, I think it does actually work as a justification, but it's not enough to save the song.
All right, next up, we've got Flint Steel with The Shape of Things to Come. Now, this is the kind of epic, squealing guitars and blast beats that we've all come to expect from Temnir. I feel like there's a lot of opportunities for nonsense vocals in this song, but they didn't really happen. During the listening party, Ryan and I were in the same room, and there's this line, "born of a language that I can't understand." And I looked and I pointed at Ryan and I was like, here it comes, here comes some nonsense vocals. But they didn't happen, which was kind of a missed opportunity. Yeah. I feel like if the lyrics are going to reference a language that you can't understand, you know, I wanted some Untergleben, Glanten, Globen, you know, or something. You know, I wanted some I don't know, Muck Swedish or some language I can't understand. But I didn't quite get it. So I feel like there were expectations there that did not deliver.
The Swedish Chef should have made a cameo.
The Swedish Chef is apparently problematic now.
The Swedish Chef would not have saved that song. Yeah, sorry.
Is the Swedish Chef was handsy or?
I think the Swedish Chef is an offensive racial stereotype, but it is what it is.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Next, they're going to come for my Mario. Oh well, this song though, Flint Steel. I don't have a lot of notes. We're both using the word epic, which is, you know, very apt. I did, you know, note that I'm not really fond of the intro synth setting, and it's not a setting that I would have used to introduce this otherwise, you know, amazing song. And they did that last round too, where they started out with a weird sounding synth that was, you know, not so epic sounding before launching into the rest of the song, which was, of course, very epic sounding. I do think this sounds excellent, though.
Yeah, happy with it. Again, this is not a genre that I am biased towards, and I, for me, every one of this person's songs sounds all exactly the same. So there's no reason why they should give a damn what I have to say about it. But since you've brought me here, I will just say that it's a very epic song. It sounds like an anime anthem, and I can't tell that the song is about anything that is particularly dramatic. And so it kind of, I mean, there's absolutely an impression that something very important is happening, but I can't tell what. No idea what the song is actually about. I actually kind of like that Born of Language that I can't understand was not immediately followed by nonsense. I would have been happy for it to have been somewhere else in the song, but not so on the nose as to come immediately after it. And as far as I can tell, I have no idea why the song is called The Shape of Things to Come. I don't know. I only know a little bit about the H.G. Wells novel, but as far as I can tell, it has absolutely nothing to do with anything in this song. If I'm wrong, I apologize, and I will retract that comment.
Okay, well, now we are on to Shadows. Oh. Let's start off with Falcon Artist. Good work submitting a shadow. You know, hey, you don't need to stress over finding rhymes if the first line you're rhyming it with is wordless. You can write a song backwards and have it all rhyme, no problem. Just the first one, you're going to make up a fake word that rhymes with the next one that's coming up. Neat idea, you know, minimal production. Incredibly happy that we're getting Shadows.
Lots of wordless singing in this song, and it's, you know, in the same G&G style as the Round One song. It's also reminiscent of this 19th century tune, Botany Bay, which also has nonsense words in it, and also ends in the line, bound for Botany Bay, which I think is an Australian penal colony.
Famously so,
yeah. So, next up we've got Joshua N.B. Drake with Unspeakable Things.
Okay, seriously, Terry, if you don't stop, I will do unspeakable things.
like what? What are you going to do to me?
Unspeakable things.
Well, yeah, but like what kind of things are we talking about
unspeakable.
Here?
Unspeakable.
Jonathan, you do know that like when people say unspeakable things, they're not like saying like literally unspeakable things. What the?
Yeah, sorry, I don't know what the hell that was. That was
Jonathan. I don't think.
Speechless. Huh? I guess you could say it was quite unspeakable.
Shut the f*** up, Jonathan.
You know, it was a cute idea. It was still at 36 seconds. It was still too long.
Cute skit, too long.
I liked the joke, and I do appreciate the fact that it was in fact wordless. Very much so. It wasn't even backwards. The effects, there's some backwards reverb, but if you listen to it backwards, it's still, you know, they're still wordless. As it is, though, you know, you belabored the joke.
I don't have anything to add.
Yeah, me neither, not really. I like that we're getting Shadows.
Yeah. Kudos for submitting something.
All right. Lastly, we have definitely not secretly Glennie. So it's definitely not secretly, parentheses, definitely not secretly Glennie, unparentheses, meaning it's definitely not secretly the other band that we heard earlier. All right. But anyhow, with the song Thunder Riff Mountain and the Guitar Slide.
Hey, what's that? It kind of looks like a talk box.
Hey, look, there's a note taped to the back.
Great job getting second place, definitely not secretly losers. Better luck next time. I've kidnapped your precious Glennie, whom you claim is not part of your band. No one believes you. If you ever want to see him again, you'll have to bring me the greatest slide guitar line dance song ever made. Let's see if you can do that without your precious Glennie. I'll be waiting at the peak of Thunder Rip Mountain on Tuesday after the listening party. After that, I cannot guarantee his safety. I'll be billing you all. Autocorrect.
The message ends there.
Tuesday, that's today.
Oh, how evil. They know how much we hate live dances.
Keep it together. This is for Glennie.
I'm sorry. I just got a bit emotional.
All right. DNSG hands in. Definitely.
Not.
Secretly.
We may hate it, but we've got to do it. It's time to rescue a man whom we respect musically, but who is definitely not secretly part of this band. Let's save Glennie.
I ran out of time. I don't have notes for, but I remember it very, very well. This is very funny. This is the skit part is hilarious. Line dance part is hard to sit all the way through, but you know, again, this whole thing is worth it for how much fun these guys are having. Just this awesome inside joke. Just having such a fun time. You can't help but have fun during it too. It's wonderful. This should have been their submission instead of what they submitted, I thought.
Yeah, I think it's better.
Yeah, me too.
There's a line, definitely not secretly losers, which the villain says, which I thought was hilarious.
Great job getting second place. Definitely not secretly losers. So awesome.
Yeah, and then he says something wrong and he blames autocorrect, you know, at the end of that. That was absolutely hilarious.
I was wondering what that was, but then I think I figured it out. I think it's that he's going to be killing you all
instead
soon.
Of billing or thrilling or something like that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. The skit was the best part of the song. They also used the talk box music from Glennie's song Corvette C6, I think, which was absolutely, you know, very cool to reference that song. And I think the idea of a slide guitar line dance song is funny, but the execution is not good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shadow. You get to do whatever the heck you want.
Exactly.
You know, as usual, again, you know, as somebody who's not on the inside, the in jokes just make me go, yeah, whatever. I appreciated the hands in joke. Definitely not secretly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was like the only part where I felt like I was being asked to laugh alongside. Everything else was just, yeah, it was okay.
All right. We're done. That is it.
Yeah.
We've gone through all the shadows and all the songs.
Record time.
Yeah. Any idea top three?
Well, let's see. I believe that the My Broken Demo Tape song has got to be in the top three.
Yeah, I agree.
And for me, I really liked the Cave Dweller song, so that's in my personal top three.
Yeah.
And then I'm not sure if that third place is going to be Sober or if it's going to be the Alleviators or it might be Governing Dynamics. I don't know. I have to really search my feelings to figure out. Oh, also in Blue is also a potential for top three as well.
Hard to say.
I feel like it's got to be also in Blue now that I think about it.
I think my number one is going to be My Broken Demo Tape, which is weird considering how much I harshed them in round one to hear myself saying that I think this was the best of the bunch. But I honestly think that it was the best of the bunch. I keep going back to it. I mean, I knew I kept going back to Sober also because it was delightful. But I think if I was stuck listening to a song on infinite repeat, I think that I'd get sick of Plastic Patty quicker than I'd get sick of Die Happy.
Die Happy definitely hit the hardest emotionally of all these songs for me.
For me, I mean, my broken demo tape by a country mile. It's not even just that it was just, it hit hard. I mean, I was liking it before I even realized what it was about.
Yeah, me too.
You know, Governing Dynamics is maybe a second. Just I said, like, that's closest to the kind of music that I would be listening to anyway. Yeah. Maybe I would put Stacking Theory as my number three. I really did like some parts of it.
Yeah, you were just disappointed by the ending, if I recall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that kind of makes me forget that I actually really did like most of the song.
Yeah, but I mean, like Cardamom Seed, I really liked. Stacking Theory, yeah. Celestial Drift, I liked a lot. Cave Dwellers. Man, this whole list has stuff that it's like everything is in, you know, that high mid range, except for, of course, My Broken Demo Tape, which is high, high. And then, like, you get to stuff like Oxford Blue, and that's also maybe high ish. So, yeah, everything, just a lot of really good entries. So, we'll figure it out. Fortunately, Brian doesn't have to figure it out.
Yeah. And not only do I get an out, but also you, the listener, get an out. You have absolutely no reason to give shit one about my opinion. You know, nobody can blame you if you consider your audience to contain exactly five people. And I am not one of those five. I'm not even part of the Spin Tunes, you know, group. I couldn't record a decent piece of music to save my freaking life.
Remind me why we had Brian on, Ryan.
Well, you know how...
I couldn't get anyone else.
Yeah, the bottom of the barrel. No,
I'm all you can afford.
Yeah, we called everybody. The thing is, it's like at the end, round four, everybody who participated gets a vote. Mm-hmm. But Brian still doesn't get a vote.
I still don't get a vote.
We don't get a vote either, yeah. But still.
My opinion is only interesting if you care about what outsiders think of your music.
All right. Well, any comments before we shut this thing down? Okay. I think I can hear the ending theme.
Yeah, this was actually really fun for me. Thanks for inviting me, guys. I enjoyed listening to the songs, even the ones I didn't like.
Thank you so much, Brian, for joining us on relatively short notice and having these good takes on all of these songs and these thoughtful ideas about them. I want to thank my husband for his patience and his love and his support. And I thought it was cool to hang out with you guys when I got up to Seattle earlier this week. But that's it for me.
That's it for me. We're out.
I like to shout out the chances of fate that have led me to this point in my life.
Mike already stopped the recording, man. Why don't you just shut up? I hope I'm kidding. Was I kidding?
You're kidding.
Okay, good.